Brian.
Rana.
This is hot off the presses information. Okay.
This is huge news. Yeah.
The AI Social Club continues to grow beyond all expectation. We have welcomed so many incredible members into the club and continue to. But right now, okay, pardon me, coming up, people have to, if they want to get the September box, we are now accepting members. They have to sign up by September 1st. Anyone that is registered or has signed up for a September box, pardon me, will be entered to win what I can only describe as the greatest contest gift of all time.
This is like, this is what you shoot to the stars for, is to grab something like this.
We shouldn't even be offering this.
I'm actually shocked we are, Rana.
They are entered to win a 5-minute segment on this show, on this very free feed Ask Rana show, where they can AMA. Ask us anything, pardon me.
If they have advice, questions about Jordan, whatever they want.
Well, I mean, Jordan's not, you know, that's Jordan's business. Jordan's not.
Right, I guess that's
Jordan's
true.
Jordan's not
that's
on true. The show.
No, he isn't.
But
you're
they
right.
can ask us whatever they want. If they want to ask an advice question, if they want to kibitz about something, if they want to say, you know, this thing happened the other day, I'm curious what you thought about it. And we will spend 5 minutes talking to them about whatever, however, on the show. On the actual show, they will appear here. If they are registered for the September box, they're entered to win. So that is AISocial.club. The boxes are going from strength to strength. I literally yesterday was doing my in the lab tasting for the August box.
Sure. Yeah.
It's so gorgeous. It's so fun. It's so cute. We're having our white party for August, so watch out, pardon me. But
get your linens.
September will be not in any way a step down. I can't wait to start getting into all those fall flavors. Oh,
me too. I got to say, this cocktail club gets better and better and better. We've got Connor. We've got all the hits.
Yeah.
We've got gorgeous bespoke cocktail makers and liquor makers. And I got to say, I love it.
And he always
it's
gets
such
to sit
a step
on
above.
The ground floor, Connor, of something that people...
Of like the coolest, hottest thing.
Well, that's classic Ask Ron, is that people think,
oh,
we say something and then people, a few months later, it becomes the thing and people say, where did I hear about that? And it's always
Yeah, we're not
here.
Sending you a bottle of Jack Daniels, okay?
Yeah. Full-size bottles, full-size candy bars, that's what I'm known
that
for.
That look gorgeous on any countertop and taste like light
well,
as
what you're really doing is building a gorgeous home bar.
You're building a bar.
Yeah. And we always
build
send,
a bar. Build
you know,
a bar.
There's sometimes there's a cute accessory or a coaster. The match boxes last time people couldn't get over. We sent the leopard as our mascot. We have to name him, by the way. Or her. In any event, this ad's gone on too long. You get the idea. AISocial.club, AISocialClub.com. We can't wait to welcome you into the Carriage House Club.
So exciting. Hi, dearest Hash.
Testing.
Oh.
1, 2, 3.
Is your mic working, Rana?
I hope.
Yeah, me too. Let's see.
Yeah.
I think
you know
mine's
what?
Working. It might be a little loud, though.
I'm going to fly free, and I'm not even going to test it.
Well, I have a little...
you're very quiet now. I can barely hear you.
Oh, I have a little something to something.
Still quiet.
Really?
Oh, unless you're going to sing, you better keep it low.
No. So what I was going to say... Okay, perfect. I don't mean to cause controversy.
Well,
but I
how
think our,
could you possibly?
Well, I think our listeners would be interested to know because they enjoyed it on the Instagram that just before we started recording, I saw a summer fly past Rana again.
Did they on the Instagram show me killing the fly?
No, it was people just talking about the fact that you killed the fly.
Oh, they I were thought like, they showed were, they it on it was, the Instagram and I thought I was going to have to... Fire Dante again, and that is, I told you, it's August. I don't fire people in August. I don't have the energy.
They liked your reaction to having a fly.
My wretch.
You're wretch.
Well, I hope you're
God,
wrong.
That's an awful word, but it really is a good onomatopoeia.
Onomatopoeia, no question. Mm-hmm. I was talking to someone today, and I didn't have the heart to tell her. She kept referring to ovulation instead of ovulation.
I knew someone who used to say boozum. instead of bosom.
Ooh, Drew Droege.
No, my friend's professor in college.
Oh, Tom Ford's bothering me again.
Which Tom Ford?
Both of them, to be honest.
Well, one lost his
husband. One of them's bothering them because he just lost his husband and he wants to dress me for the Emmys and I'm not having it. That's the first problem.
Wait, Tom Ford?
The Tom Ford.
Wants to dress you for the Emmys?
Of course.
Wait, you're going to the Emmys?
Of course I'm going to the Emmys.
You're going to be in L.A.?
Aren't they having it this year?
Well, yeah, but Rana.
No, the Hacks girls invited me. And
the
Paul.
One who we
I
had on the
say
show.
The Hacks girls. What I meant by the girls was in my mind
Hannah
was Lucia and Jen and Hannah, of course.
Who we had on the show.
But it was really Paul and Lucia and Jen who invited me.
But Rana, I know all three of them. And we had Lucia on the show and Hannah on the show.
We absolutely did. And Paul is coming. Inclement weather.
Inclement super, downs.
Superstorm Paul Downs.
A downspour. A downspour. It's
I can't wait. It is going to be a real downspour.
It's going to be a downspour.
He should play a weatherman.
He would be so good as a weatherman.
He would be so funny, but also poignant, but also so handsome to play
He'd
a weatherman,
the perfect weatherman
whose life is falling apart and he has to, but funny.
LA story.
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact genre I'm talking about. That kind of a tone.
Yes, I'm
where
with you.
Everything, because that's a little bit what his character's like on Hacks, where he has to keep it together and everything's falling apart around him all the time. And then he has to get back together again.
He's under high stress, and he is
so terrific on the show. And
but can
I
we get
love
back to
his big scene in the finale where he quits Jerry
Me
Maguire.
Too. But could we get back to the Emmys?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't want to wear Tom Ford, and I haven't
heard
back from a few of the other people, so I'm not sure. I'm looking for a chic tent, and if I can find one, I'll go. And if I
can't, so Tom Ford isn't making one right now.
Well, he wants to make one for me, but you know me. He wants to put me in some kind of a jumpsuit, leopard, tight to the body, you know, with a cinched. He wants me to look like Catwoman.
Well, Rana,
and I'm tired of what everybody else wants.
If you decide not to go and the ticket's transferable and Tom Ford is transferable, I could figure out a way to
none of it's
ease that burden for you.
Yeah, none of it's transferable, I don't think.
Do you think that maybe, should I reach out to Lucia? And Hannah?
Oh, God, I would.
In case they maybe forgot?
Oh, God, I wouldn't. They're so busy.
Well, I know she's
a mother.
They're
working on the next season. She had a baby.
Yeah, right,
she's an Emmy winner already 4 or 5 times over. And now she's got the pressure of the double-peat, the two-peat.
Right.
Three-peat would be next year.
Right.
When she has her three-peat.
Right.
It's a lot to think about.
Well, what about should I email? Who should I email? Jen?
God, I'd email Hannah probably.
You would?
Yeah, I'd probably DM her. I mean, does she check her DMs? I don't know. I mean, I do know because she and I have a DM relationship, but would she check her DM from someone new? I don't know.
Well, I've met her, Rana. We talked, Rana.
But you know how it is. They come in and out of the carriage house. They come in here. They act like they're absolutely our best friends, and we never hear from them again.
Well, at least
Cody Rigsby was my best friend for 6 weeks.
Yeah,
and
he's
now
still delivered on
now
his
he's
promises.
On top of the world. He's in Mykonos with no shirt on. He's in Brooklyn with no shirt on. He's in Fire Island with no shirt on. He's in Peloton with no shirt on.
Sure. He's covered all.
I want the record to reflect I knew Cody Rigsby was it before everyone else
when.
Knew Cody Rigsby was it.
You did before, certainly before ABC knew.
He was on here before he was on
Dancing with the Stars.
Rana? I haven't heard from the skater.
Who's the skater?
Adam, have you got any Grey Poupon? I haven't heard from Grey Poupon.
Oh, God. Rana?
I also haven't contacted him, but I haven't heard from him.
Rana?
Yeah.
So can we talk about the Emmys for a second?
Not really.
Well, so if you're going to be in L.A., do you want to stay with me?
Oh, God, no. But thank you, dear. This
can I stay with you?
Maybe, because I usually do have a two-bedroom suite wherever I stay.
Okay. So then I'll stay with
you. Do you want to do a slumber party one night? You know what we could do? You could stay at my room and watch the Emmys. And then when I come home, That'll be perfect for me, actually.
No, well, I could
when
meet
I,
you at the...
When I come home from the ceremony and all the parties, I will, of course, be at the HBO Max party, and I'll be at the
But those parties are
AMC
usually bigger than the ceremony, so surely someone could get
party.
Me into...
I may not go to the Netflix party. I don't know if I have that kind of stamina this right. year. But I'll go to hop to hop to hop to hop. And then when I get home, mm-hmm. you can have a big bowl of popcorn waiting, and we can do a debrief on the night. And we'll talk about what you saw on TV versus what happened.
Hysterical that you think a bowl of popcorn would still be full by the time you get back. That's
hey, you'll
the funniest
have to
part
pop
so far.
One fresh. I'll text you when I'm on the way back.
Rana?
Jiffy Pop.
Yeah. Oh, on the stovetop of your two-bedroom suite? Rana.
Well, there is a kitchenette, yeah.
Usually the parties, you get to invite more people than... At the
oh,
ceremony.
I'm not, but it's not my party.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll figure it out. I'm not worried.
We
I think like it's like you always say, like
out.
We just don't stress about it. And
we'll
you know, you always like to buy plane
out.
Tickets last minute. It'll all yeah. be fine.
It'll yeah. all work out.
It'll all be fine.
You really want to come?
Yeah, I'd love to, Rana.
And you haven't received any invitations on your own? Fox
well,
News hasn't invited
Cynthia
you to
hasn't,
party?
I mean, I haven't really been home. I've been in Boston. Cynthia hasn't checked my mail. You don't think she yeah. would steal my invitations, do you?
Non-transferable. But what about That's Fox true. News? They haven't invited you anything?
Not yet. I'm patiently waiting.
I thought for
do
sure Fox
Do you think
Fox
they have
News.
An Emmy party?
Well, you're on that show on Fox. I thought Fox News might have invited you.
I'm not
you
on something. Fox News. I have a question. Does that mean that
now
Disney
I want
owns-
to see Paul as a weatherman.
Me too, the downpour.
I'm going to get sad if I don't see the downpour.
Me too. The yeah. downpour report?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
what about Disney? What about Disney? You had a question.
Oh, something about...
Does no, Disney own somebody is what you wanted to know. The answer is probably
Mickey Mouse.
Yes. You know, it's interesting you should ask because their rights on Mickey Mouse expire.
What are you
in
talking about?
About 10 years. Yeah.
Why don't they have like permanent rights?
Dante.
Oh, no.
Look
Dante,
it up.
You better get this right is all
so
I'm
this
say.
Is
That's
one
my
of
best
those
advice
strange
today.
Things. It's sort of like, if I understand it correctly, Dante's going to find out. And actually, our guest today may know the answer to this because she knows all about cartoon characters and things like that. They owned Mickey Mouse. Let's say like when you do a 100-year lease on a building.
Yeah.
Or a song that becomes a public domain.
Sure.
I think that Disney
Like Happy Birthday finally became
They don't
domain.
Really own Mickey Mouse. They have like a lease on him for 77 years or something.
Wow.
Dante.
Abigail Disney, what are you going to do?
Did I get an answer?
She's wonderful, by the way.
Who's Abigail Disney?
She's like the Disney daughter, but she's cool as hell.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's doing lots of good things.
Yes.
Here we go. Mickey Mouse will enter the public domain in the year 2024.
Can you see when Minnie Mouse will?
Yeah, check Minnie. Well, let's guess.
See if this means divorce.
If he's 2024, how
I'm
many years later do you think
20,
Minnie?
28.
Minnie came along. You think it was that long?
Maybe not.
I think 10 years later, maybe 8 to 10 years later, she came along.
Yeah.
Almost 90. Steamboat Willie was the first iteration of Mickey Mouse. So that's
Correct.
What we're talking about here. But
yes.
maybe it was 20 years before Minnie entered the picture. Almost. How long, Dante, until they said he needs a girlfriend? They said he's
Dante.
They said he's too gay. We better get him a girlfriend.
Why is he up to see that permanent?
How come he's still single is what they asked.
Right. Well, he's still dancing by himself. What
first
does that
October
mean?
1928.
He's on a boat with all those people.
After
all
which the copyright on an anonymous or pseudo-anonymous body of artistic work expires. What's anonymous about it?
Minnie was
also 1928.
The same year. And so she became his girlfriend pretty quickly.
Well, it's never clear to me what the relationship is between them. And I told you I went to Disney and Minnie was all over Mr. Cleveland.
She's very flirty, Rana.
All tried to sit on his lap.
Are
what
you,
are we doing?
Are
here,
you
Minnie.
Serious?
Tried to sit. Yeah, she does that thing where she sort of Marilyn Monroe's, puts two
she
hands on her
coy.
Knees and their skirt flies up. Yeah.
Minnie.
Yeah. This isn't what we're supposed to
She's
talk about. None
is.
Of this
really
is what we're
supposed to
This
okay.
episode, though, is the rare episode that will come out a couple of days after we record it because She-Hulk is currently streaming She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Speaking of Disney Plus, it's currently streaming on Disney Plus.
There's no better title for a show in the world.
It's the best. She-Hulk Attorney. Well, it's the most Jessica Gao thing you could ever hear.
I can't wait to meet her. I really can't.
She's coming on in a minute, and we're going to chat with her. But she is the creator for television of She-Hulk. We're going to hear all about it, but she'll know.
Do you think she has an extra Emmy invite?
Oh, God, I doubt it.
Okay.
They don't
Do you think it would be rude to
ask her? They don't invite the cartoon people to things.
Well, she's not a cartoonist.
No, but Marvel, you know, cartoon, you know.
I guess.
Comic book, cartoon.
Cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, cartoon, sure. cartoon. Have you ever had your name written in a cartouche?
Like a dessert?
No, like a cartouche, a hieroglyphic.
Oh, I've never heard of that word. No, like in Egypt?
What do you mean you've never heard of a cartouche? Now you're going to make me look it up. A cartouche.
And I've also never heard of whatever that souffle is that sounds like cartouche that they do in New England.
Excuse me?
There's some, or in Rhode Island, they do some dessert that sounds like that. Like kashasha. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What?
Nothing.
Are you talking about, wait a minute.
Not quahog.
I was going to say quahog.
Not quahog.
A cartouche, which of course I'm correct about, is in Egyptian hieroglyphics when a royal name, you know, that's how they partially decoded the hieroglyphics. They knew it was a name when it was circled.
So the name Brian is a cartouche?
No, a cartouche is when you take some hieroglyphics and then they happen to be, so you're looking at hieroglyphics and they happen to be circled in an oval or ovaled, whatever that verb is, and shaded. So, you know, it's almost like highlighting.
Like when they write your name on a piece of rice?
Who's they, Brian, in that scenario?
They have people at the Santa Monica Pier who do that. They'll write your name right on a piece of rice.
Oh, are they writing in hieroglyphics? I'm talking about hieroglyphics. You know, I honestly just don't know sometimes. I just don't know.
Well, I didn't know my name was a hieroglyph.
It's not unless you pay for it to be.
You can pay to get hieroglyphic?
Of course. You can get a necklace that's a cartouche.
Do they put in the pyramids?
Yeah, they write Brian, you know, one bird, two stones, one, you know,
two Brian's,
staff.
One cup.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Only the Steamboat Willie iteration of Mickey Mouse is going to public domain. Okay, that's very interesting.
But what about a year later, Dante? So
what
is
happens?
It just Steamboat Willie or is it Mickey? Are they only losing Steamboat Willie or are they losing Mickey?
I have to say, no one's got anything to worry about with
Steamboat Willie going to public domain because he was janky
as hell.
No big, as they say. He was very skinny, Steamboat Willie. He didn't have a cute tummy yet, like Mickey.
What do you think of adults who dress like Minnie and Mickey for Halloween? Rana.
Yeah. My computer disk skipped a little bit on that one, I have to say. Because I was trying, I was doing, you know, I do, you ask me a question, and then my brain starts to do a web crawl, of course.
Right.
Into all of the cavities and file cabinets and caverns and into the RAM to figure out what I think about something.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out if there was a way that I could say something positive about that.
Oh, I see.
And it took a little too long. Because you know, there's one or two listeners out there, Malice probably has a pair of Minnie Mouse ears, you know, these Disney's people. And they're desperately hanging to think, is Rana going to tell me it's okay? And the answer is, you know what? It's really not okay to be a child after you're a child. Wonderful to be a child. Wonderful to enjoy some of the things from your childhood. Really not okay to spend the day as a child once you're an adult.
Rana, our guest is here.
Certainly not a sexy child.
Our guest is here, but I do want to say one thing.
Yeah.
The Kiki is tomorrow.
Shut the front door.
Our white party to kick off the Labor Day weekend is tomorrow. You also
so sad for all these people that aren't going to be there.
Well, you want to know what's sadder is you only have 2 days left to sign up for the September Cocktail Club.
September 1. Till the end of the day, you have to sign up for September. But the important thing about September is not only that it's fabulous and what a cocktail we have. I have to say, the white party's fabulous. We're going into Labor Day for the white party. But the September cocktail shuts the door on summer and opens the door on fall.
And by the way, if there's anything more beautiful than summer, it's fall.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I do love fall.
But more importantly, anyone who has signed up for September Club membership.
You got two more days. I'm reminding people. Yeah.
They're nominated. They're in the pot. You know, I'm going to put
for the AMA.
For the AMA. They can win. I don't know why I'm giving. Why am I giving this away? I have no idea why I'm doing it.
You're in a really good
mood. I don't want to talk to these people. What did I get so generous for? It's an AMA. Someone can come on the show for 5 minutes. I'm going to set a timer. If I decide they can stay longer, that's up to me or you. But they can talk to us about whatever.
I
have a
that.
Question loaded.
Was that the night?
I read this in the paper today, Rana. What do you think? You know, that's what they make. They get to be you for 5 minutes.
My timeline gets a little weird sometimes. But so tell me if I could be wrong. But I think the morning that you said you wanted to do an AMA was that night I heard you screaming.
There must have been a cicada in my yard.
No, I don't think so because I think Mr. Cleveland was here and I heard.
You need to drop this screaming situation.
You're right.
Three or four episodes now that you brought this up.
You're right, Rana.
And no one.
Maybe I was screaming.
No one talks about all the shrieking that comes out of your location.
But my shrieking is fear.
It could be anything. Keening, shrieking, sighing.
Shrieking for me is just a reaction to anything.
The microwave beeping, whatever exactly. It is.
I do hate that. And you share that with me, Rana, so don't lie. You hate that sound too.
Absolutely do.
Rate, review, subscribe, five stars only. Jessica Gao. Or did we have anything else, Rana? Any new business?
No.
Any unfinished business?
We did have some fun. We keep not reading our follow-ups and our other stuff. And I do wish we would get to that. But
well, do you want to rerun now or is Jessica going to?
I don't know. What's she going to do if we keep her waiting? You know?
Yeah, okay. Let's bring her in.
Should we?
I don't know, Rana.
Okay, before we let her in, I feel we've been a little delinquent with the people that really live here.
Yep.
So let's just do a couple of quick comments, and we have three quick, not so quick follow-ups, and then we're going to bring her in. And then everything is She-Hulk attorney at law after that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our first comment is from Aladdin Sane 12.
Oh.
I like the thing of putting Aladdin and Sane together. Don't you dare close your eyes. Everything I've ever needed in a podcast. Ron and Brian are the wisest advice givers I know of and the only ones who have the gall to berate their letter writers for everything from their poor grammar to poor life choices. I wouldn't say we berate, do we?
Oh, everything from.
Yes.
Yeah. Not everything.
Oh, but, for everything from. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
But of course, we absolutely do berate them. And that's part of the deal here. It absolutely is. If you do not like it here, do not stay.
The show is equal parts hilarious and enlightening. And I always walk away from an episode feeling just a tad bit cozier, classier, and brassier. Laryn Marie, 5 stars.
Laryn.
Laryn.
Okay.
I honestly don't know.
Larynx.
The larynx. And I do just want to put this in there very quickly. I feel sorry for anyone who did not hear Rana's campfire retelling of the great molasses tidal wave of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Flood, I guess.
Yeah. The great molasses flood of 1919, which is on the Patreon. It was on last week's when this comes out, it'll be 2 or 3 weeks earlier.
It is the perfect
episode.
Way to join to listen to that horror story.
I have to agree. People were absolutely flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And Scarlett Curtis, who I have not heard from, had been asking for an ASMR episode. And if
there
that
you
wasn't
go, Scarlett.
One, I don't know what is.
Play that tonight while your family's doing jigsaw puzzles or
Wordle
or whatever.
She's been busy. Her daughter Betty had its second birthday.
Oh.
Her red poodle.
Oh, well,
go
that's
on,
sweet.
Please. Yeah.
You got it.
Cinnamon poodle. They call it cinnamon, don't they?
So sweet.
Yeah.
Laryn Marie says, 5 stars. Five stars, excuse me. That's how she spelled it. I honestly don't know what my favorite part of this podcast is. The incredible advice. The laughs. My toddler's dance to the upbeat intro. My 11-year-old's Rana accent. Brian and Ronner's banter. Or just hearing my husband LOL when he's tuned in. It's all delightful. I wish the whole world would listen. Planet Earth would be a much classier place if we all tuned in. Thank you for making me a better hostess and for feeling less crazy when dealing with other humans. Also, I've never been happier that I've visited Vienna.
Oh.
Rana takes me back every time with her beautiful descriptions of the city. Kiss, kiss. And Joe, 43, 13.
I've been planning my visit to Vienna with baby Steve next winter, yeah. I'm trying to decide what the perfect Zhivago look is for Steve.
Right.
And it's going to have a lot to do with how her curls play out. So
well then
see.
I hope it's all faux, yeah. Rana. I hope it's all faux.
Oh, well, I hope
Joe,
it's all,
43.
I hope it's all warm.
Says the best, pardon me, the best podcast around. Love my double dose of Rana Bryan each week. Proud Chip from the start. I find myself putting on old episodes just to hear your voices. Kiss, kiss.
Thank you, Joe, dear.
Joe, are you kidding? All right.
We've got a couple of, should we do our follow-ups real
follow-ups.
Fast?
Yes, yes.
Oh, but someone did write us a letter just to say how fabulous we were.
Dear Rana and Brian, I just wanted to send an email saying thank you for your podcast. I, of course, already left a review, and I always rate 5 stars, but I felt it's not enough. I just want to acknowledge how this podcast does so much for its fans. No apostrophe in that it's. I mean, there should be they put an apostrophe in that it's, but there's no apostrophe.
Yeah.
As long as we're berating people.
Yeah.
Ron and Brian truly love their fans, and it shows it each week. What other podcast offers prestigious guests, perfect answers to listeners' questions, the coffee, the AR social club, and an informative Instagram? None that I know of except for Ask Rana. Your hard work is seen. And we fans are thankful. Kiss, kiss, cat. P.S. I still follow the advice you gave me on going gray. I haven't touched a box of color since.
Oh, remember that. That was early on.
Early. That was like the pageant, wasn't it?
You know what's funny? I had Adam in the Patreon carriage house the other day because you had been called away to Hollywood.
Yes.
And
Adam, who I love. That's a guest host I can get on board with.
And he got to read a letter, which everybody loves to listen to his trained voice leader.
I do love his voice.
Read a letter.
Adam's wonderful.
But we were talking about how many episodes we've done. Do you realize we've done, I can't even, a million episodes. Almost 300 episodes, maybe.
Isn't that amazing?
Between the Patreon
when you combine
and
them.
But what's even more amazing is that I feel like we almost always remember whatever letter people are referring to.
You're right.
But what's
they touch us.
What's even more, it's true. It stays in the computer. But what's even more amazing is what I keep forgetting to say to people, which is if you have the nerve to write to us again and reference an old episode and not look up the number. And not say, as mentioned in episode 36, as you answered my letter on episode 155, whatever it is, don't come back. Do you understand?
Right. Addendum.
Tony and Mimi have plenty to do, okay? Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have to go scurrying through three questions each episode, plus Patreon, write it, cite it. And by a
at the next board meeting, Josh,
a citation.
At the next board meeting, Josh, take a vote as to whether this should be in the style guide.
Yeah, I think he may have mentioned it in the style guide, to be honest with you.
You're right. I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Quickly read these follow-ups. Then we've got to let our little friend in.
This was from the letter writer. God, I have to be honest with you. Scarlett Curtis's episode with you, Rana, got a lot more traction than I wanted it to. I will be honest with you.
You know,
people
she's
are still
a,
mentioning
she's
it.
A sleeper agent.
Don't I know it?
Yeah.
She, to me, is Charlize Theron, an atomic bomb.
Blonde.
She's that kind.
Atomic blonde.
Atomic blonde. That's right.
Yeah. Not atomic bomb. Yeah.
Ron and Scarlett. This person's writing to Scarlett as if she's here again.
Well, she knows Scarlett's listening. Whoever this is that's writing it, he or she knows Scarlett's
You know, if I
listening.
Didn't love Scarlett so much, she would be on really thin ice with me.
Yeah, she'd be on blast. Do they say that
she'd
anymore?
She'd be on blast. They do. I do. Yeah. Ron and Scarlett, well, you sure had me pegged. Everything you said was, this is the one about the letter writer who was nervous about befriending
Now I'm going to be friends with my neighbor. My neighbor's going to want to hang out all the time. And I want to make a friend, but also I just want to be able to be on my own in my own
Correct.
House as
Correct.
Everyone else in the world is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ron and Scarlett. Well, you sure had me pegged. Everything you said was spot on and helped me laugh at my social anxiety in such a way that made me feel more relaxed about my new friend. Oh. I especially loved Ronna saying, the whole world isn't a cruise boat party parked right outside your front door.
It's true.
That's pretty good.
Is everyone going to notice I didn't come out to the party? No. They're not.
Since she read my letter, I've gone with my neighbor to the town farmer's market. She, by the way, when I'm saying farmer's, she's spelling it that way.
Farmer's okay? market, yeah.
We're in Massachusetts, too, out for lunch, on a walk with her and her dogs before work, and on a double Whoa. Dinner date with our husbands.
Intimate.
This is all in.
This is headed for a foursome.
Unlike
headed
me,
for what, headed
Bob
for
and Carol and Ted and Alice, exactly. Yeah. Unlike me, she's so relaxed, I feel comfortable declining invites every now and then because she isn't the type to take it personally. I learned a lot from observing Great. My anxieties around this neighbor and from your thoughtful understanding and slightly roasting advice. You say we letter writers come to you because we're desperate, but your advice is so excellent that I can't imagine why we would turn to anyone else. Kiss, kiss, Mel.
Fabulous. Cute. We have one more update. I'm reading it because I love
Do
this
it,
guy.
Runner.
Now, this was from Peter Kim's episode, okay?
Yes.
And the guy had, he was taking care of his dad and his mother had passed away and he wanted to redo his yard, but he didn't know whether it was worth splurging or not splurging. And he just was having a hard time, if I recall correctly, doing something for himself when he had spent so much time taking care of everybody else and worrying about everybody else. An update for the illustrious, industrious duo. I've been waiting for the right time to write a follow-up worthy of the podcast. Thank you both so much for your insights back in the winter. They truly meant so much to me. You asked if I received a refund for the lake house I rented around my cousin's wedding, but missed due to COVID.
Right.
I booked that for me and six other family members. That was an emotional and financial loss for me, but they had a blast at least. None of them chipped in. In any case, Ronna was absolutely right about needing a break and a change of scenery. I took my first getaway from my college friend's 40th birthday in March and really felt rejuvenated. By April, I began digging out and laying a patio in my backyard, also a great workout, as well as working with a landscaper to beautify my property. I hope you enjoy the photos I attached. In May, I threw a big outdoor birthday party for my sister and me, and I used the Gold Belly gift card you sent me towards
Very
a decorative
nice.
Cake.
Terrific.
I just sent Cynthia Dupree Sweeney an Einagotten coconut cake for her birthday off Gold
She's off on Gold Belly,
Belly
now.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
That's what made me mention it, Brian.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if, you know.
This August, I finally took a full week of vacation. The first leg of my journey was to a houseboat I rented in Baltimore with my dog. Huh. So we could sightsee, shop, and just relax. We arrived in time to sit on the window above the bed, to sit on the deck for an hour. And then the rains came. We retreated into the cabin. And suddenly, the window above the bed was leaking onto the mattress.
Oh, boy.
And the ceiling in the kitchen was leaking buckets all over the counters.
Oh, God.
The cooktop and the floor. The owner offered me some BS, he said the whole word, reduction to stay and tough it out. But the forecast was stormy all weekend. No thanks. I was out of there. But at least I got a full refund this time. Good. My vacation wasn't a total wash, though. I spent the middle of the week at the beach with my family, and I was delighted by a surprise visit from the cousin whose wedding I had to miss last September.
Oh,
isn't she
nice.
Lovely?
That's
I
wonderful.
Finished my vacation with a promising first date with a very charming man.
This person's living.
The chemistry was mutual, and we're planning a second date now. Overall, I'd say the vacation was a win.
No
My luck
kidding.
With rentals, notwithstanding. These last few months have certainly been a reminder that life will always deal some ups and downs, but I'm feeling more myself and eager to keep engaging with the world and the people who matter to me. I remain your loyal and dedicated listener, 5 stars only. Much love to you both. And baby Steve, Scott, P.S. He attached these fabulous photos. The last photo I attached is of me and my mom the day I was born. I had it blown up and framed recently. It's easier now to feel the love more than the grief, and I just wanted to share a little of that love with you too. Thank you again so much. What a sweet
That's
person.
Wonderful. That's
I'm so
wonderful.
Sorry I'm so, his John yeah. Grisham romantic comedy fantasy of the houseboat didn't work out, but
me too.
The rest of it sounds fabulous.
He's such a, you know, I'm so glad the New York Times published that op-ed of his opinions on Roe versus Wade. I really thought that was so important. And I'm glad
you know
they
what?
Did.
I didn't manage to read it.
Oh, Rana, it's excellent. If you liked.
Well, you know, he was a small town lawyer.
If you liked Skipping Christmas by John Grisham, you will love this op-ed on whether women should get abortions or not.
Is he pro-life?
You know, Rana, he always thought he was, but it turns out he's not really. It was so interesting. It was fascinating. Really.
He's pro-choice or pro-life? He thought pro-choice. He thought he was pro-life.
He thought it until you know the court cases, you know, and then you know he knows a court case, Ronnie.
A legal scholar. It. He's a legal
Correct.
Scholar.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was very interesting.
He's not just
to read
a country lawyer. He's a legal
he's
scholar.
He's like a notch above anyone on the Supreme Court, you know? He's like Ruth Bader Ginsburg's like fantasy of what a judge
well,
could be.
Well, at this point, I'd rather have him on the Supreme Court, to be honest with you. Yeah. I wish they'd, if they had nominated him, we'd be in better shape.
Him, and who's the other one? Really any of them.
The Lincoln lawyer, Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey. Yep. Anyone who's done that.
Yeah. Bosch.
Bosch, is he a lawyer? On there. Nora
Billy
Roberts,
Bob,
put her
Billy
on
Bob,
there.
Billy Bob, what's his show called?
Oh, yeah.
He's a
it's
lawyer.
It's Bosch, isn't it?
That was disbarred in that. No, it's someone else.
Oh, The Good Wife?
No, but let's put Juliana Margulies on there while we're
Well, by the way, speaking of attorneys, how about She-Hulk attorney at law, Rana?
How about it? Let's get her in here.
Let's get her in here.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Now, wait a minute.
Oh, my God, Rana. This is like hot, hot, hot.
This is called a get. Yeah, this is a hot potato right out of the oven. This is
the most anticipated show of the year. This is the show that premiered to gangbusters reviews and
a
ratings.
A million tomatoes. And on the good, not the splats. The other
no,
kind.
The fresh.
Fresh. And you know about beef. You know your way around a beefsteak tomato.
I love a beefsteak tomato, especially when they're a little bit white in the middle.
Oh. I am so excited. We should really be enemies with this person because as you'll recall, at the beginning of the life of this podcast, we had a producer named Yusung.
Yes. Yusung. Oh, right. She's our enemy, Rana.
And She-Hulk attorney at law snatched him right out of our hands.
She took him right out of our lives.
About a minute after we launched the podcast.
You know what, though, I gotta say?
And we had to scramble. To find an all Jack or Jill of all trades.
We had to spend almost $500,000. So Jessica, I don't know if you have cash or a check or whatever, but it was a crazy search. Jessica Gao is here.
Jessica Gao, creator for television. I don't know what we're calling you because it was a comic book previously, but the head writer, creator for television, fabulous extraordinaire, Jessica Gao, She-Hulk attorney at law.
The hottest Hello. Show on TV. Hi, Jessica. It's so good to see you.
It's a pleasure, an honor, a dream to be here.
This is so exciting. Tonight is the second. Now, people don't know we're in the time machine. This is going to come out next Tuesday, which will, the second episode of She-Hulk will be out already come out, by then. Yeah.
Well, it already came out today.
Yes, because it comes out on Thursday.
Yes,
but my point
is,
I've seen the first. I haven't seen the second.
I see.
And when this podcast speak drops.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know what that means. So basically that means when the podcast episode comes out, Jessica, when this episode drops, because I have another podcast too, so I know. When this podcast drops, episode two will have been out for a few days. So if you haven't watched it yet, watch it now.
I feel like such a podcast insider now.
There's so much to know about this industry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it's such an dynamic, exciting, it's a frontier. It's like a total frontier.
It's a total frontier.
No one had ever spoken into microphones and put it over the airwaves before.
Is there a reason you decided to do this as a TV show instead of a podcast?
Well, I just you know, I am not a pioneer. I'm so, you know, I'm not innovative like you guys are. So I had to go with the traditional dinosaur, dying dinosaur media.
This show.
Oh my God.
I am so excited to see where the show goes because the pilot, obviously, okay, we're in the Marvel universe, sure, right? MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe, as they call it. And so they had to spend a lot of time catching everybody up to who She-Hulk is, what she's about,
how
what
she became.
She's going to be about. Mm-hmm. And I have not read the comic book, of course, so I don't know. I am very curious how much you stuck to her essence and how much you decided to bring of your fabulous self to it. Because I see, I don't know whether you and She-Hulk were twin souls to begin with or whether you imbued
emerged
her with that, but there is so much of fabulous you in the show. It is funny, it's sassy, it's smart, it's breaking boundaries the way that you know, in the universe, and I love it, and she's fabulous, and I can't think
fabulous
of who else could have been She-Hulk.
How she's cool. Incredible. She's perfect. She is
a what a
perfect
cast.
Perfect human being, perfect actor, perfect
and
choice.
Those curls,
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
She's a tiny, teeny, tiny little nothing. And then she becomes a giant attorney at law.
With a blowout, with a Brazilian blowout.
Yes, exactly.
If I didn't know who she was and I just read the name, I would think she was like a Russian gold medalist figure skater. Do you know what I mean?
But it turns out she easily could have been.
Yeah,
I
think
she
chose TV actresses in the world. Yeah.
Yes, but I think if she had chosen anything else, I think she is a supremely talented person, and that she puts her mind to something, I bet she can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like it. I told her. Yes, I think she spared the Olympic world, you know, their greatest competitor by deciding to going into acting.
So
how
was
much Jessica Gao is in She-Hulk is what I want to know.
Oh, I mean, I put my entire soul into it. It's a lot. You know, She-Hulk has had a over 40-year run in the comics. So there's
when
been
was she?
Runs.
When did she come into the world? I am curious what the sort of what was happening in the world when they said we need She-Hulk.
Well, it was actually kind of a business decision. So,
like
you know,
we were talking about Minnie Mouse earlier.
Yeah.
Because Mickey's copyright's about to come
it's
up
about to
in
be
2024.
Public domain.
Yeah.
Oh boy, what are my overlords going to do?
Well, I guess it's just Steamboat Willie. But we started thinking: did Minnie start from the beginning with Mickey? Or how did that work?
Basically,
but anyway,
did.
Yeah. Back to She-Hulk.
So, you know, in the 70s, there was the Incredible Hulk TV series.
Yeah.
Do I ever?
And it
Bruce
was
Banner, the thighs on him.
Although in the show, remember, they changed his name to David Banner because they thought the name Bruce was a little too feminine.
Oh, that's right. He was David Banner.
Well, Bruces were florists and hairdressers and that kind of thing.
It's funny.
Yes.
Bruce is not a feminine name in any way to me.
But it was in the 70s.
Funny.
Yeah.
So that was doing really well. And then, you know, the Bionic Woman had come out.
Yes.
As a show. And so
Lindsay
then,
Wagner.
Mm-hmm. So then Marvel thought, well, it's only a matter of time before they make a female Hulk TV show, and then we won't have the rights to that. So then they were like, we better beat them to market. We have to make a female version of the Hulk before TV does it. That way they have to get the rights from us.
Okay.
And so.
But then it never did materialize as a TV show.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
So Stan Lee, this was the last character Stan Lee created for Marvel Comics.
Wow. Oh, he did himself.
Mm-hmm. And so but he only did one issue. So the very first issue, which was published in February 1980, the Savage She-Hulk was written by Stan Lee. And then after that, David Anthony Kraft did like kind of the rest of that original run. In the late 80s, John Byrne, you know, because then the run like finished and it kind of lapsed. And then in the late 80s, John Byrne took over and started a new run called the Sensational She-Hulk. And that is like the most iconic run. Like that is the look of She-Hulk that we know. That is the sassiness, the personality. that was when it became a comedy. That he was the one who gave her the ability to break the fourth wall and made it super meta.
And right. So that's, and that was all yeah. in the comic book. That was not Fleabag.
Yes, correct. And also,
just in case anyone wants to accuse you of that. I don't know if anyone has, but that, you know, everything's Fleabag, Fleabag, Fleabag.
Well, actually, what yeah. everybody, because this is Marvel, everybody accuses us of copying Deadpool.
Sure.
Oh, him?
Mm-hmm. No, I'll take this. Yes, him. I'll take this.
Okay. Yes. Please.
I doubt it.
Yeah. But even in the comics, she did it before he did in the comics by like a decade.
Right. Yeah. But she did it before him backwards in heels.
Of course.
Ginger yeah. Rogers. Ginger Rogers.
That's the one.
Did you base any of this character on Ginger Rogers? Any part of it?
Or Debbie Reynolds?
Her conservatism, maybe, as she got older? Was that?
Yeah. So the show takes a real sharp turn in the next few episodes.
Well, how did the attorney at law come about?
Well, in the comics, she was always a lawyer.
She was always a lawyer.
Yeah, from the beginning. She was Bruce Banner's young kid, kid cousin who was a lawyer.
Have you seen the ads, Rana, where it looks like a lawyer's ad?
I have, yeah. I have.
This marketing campaign. This marketing campaign is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Like, so good. Did you see that they did a fake Tinder profile for her?
Yes.
I did not see that.
But I haven't matched with her. I think, you know.
Oh, that's interesting, Brian. Why do you think that is?
I don't know because there's something I haven't come to terms with, but I'm not ready.
You don't
to
like
yet.
Tall women, that's for sure.
I'm willing to be open about it here, and I hope you can accept me for it.
Well, I have for a long time been accusing Brian of not being a feminist because he doesn't sleep with women.
Because of what?
Because you don't sleep with women. We've talked about
you
this.
Have told me this.
Yeah,
yes,
if you want to really understand women, you have to start sleeping with them.
I think there are plenty of sexist gay men, but I really truly feel like I'm hopefully not an extreme of that.
What about this wallpaper? And then we have to get to what Scalamandre. The show is about.
Isn't it wonderful? It's from Graham and Brown's in London.
Fabulous.
What are they called?
Graham and Brown.
Okay.
And I believe this wallpaper is called Midnight Tropic.
Love
it's
it.
Absolutely yeah. gorgeous. Is
I
this the and you have other wallpaper in your new home as well? I happen to know you have a new dwelling.
I do. Ron and I are very close, everyone.
Yeah. We go way back.
Rana, you and I go way back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I go further back with Jessica Gowdy.
Well, we spent so much time together. It's funny. Anyway, Jessica, we're like the same.
In the way that in the pie, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
She was essentially writing about our relationship when she wrote the pilot, which was that she Hulk has to go to Mexico to go train with Bruce Banner to become a Hulk.
Okay.
Except in our life, she did take all the tips from me. She didn't spend the whole time saying, I already know, Bruce. I already know, Bruce, because I'm a woman. She came to Rana on the hilltop a little bit like Batman, and we learned the martial arts together, and I taught her, you know. Yeah. I taught her how to switch prints. I taught her how to spend here and save there. I taught her what a statement bag can do for, you know, that's the sort of thing. Yeah.
I was actually going to ask.
Is that accurate, Jessica? Would you say?
Absolutely. You took me for my first purchase at Barney's New York.
That is true.
She took you to Barney's.
She sure did, because we're very, very close, Brian.
When it existed.
I don't know.
Did you know?
And what did you buy, Jessica?
Oh, that was when I bought a pair of Christian Louboutins.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I was just a little tot too. A little tiny
just
baby.
Just a little baby, luxury.
Do you know that Emmy tickets are not transferable? Rana told me that because she's going. But I told her.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that you can't transfer them to another name. The other thing, Jessica, I wanted to tell you.
I bet if Jessica wanted to come, I could probably figure it out.
No, but you said if I could go.
No, you said if you could go. And I said, probably not.
Well, Jessica and I will watch it from your hotel room or something.
I won't need to because I'll be sitting next to her, Brian. It's
Brian
okay
is going to stay back at the hotel, watch on TV. I'm going to go to the show and all the parties. And when I come home, he's going to pop a big bowl of popcorn. And when I get home, we're going to talk about
it. But when you come home,
night.
It's just going to be you and me and not whoever you invited.
We're going to come. Well, if Hannah wants to come back to the bungalow, what can I do about it? Yep. You know, they all need somewhere to go. After
the only
they
thing,
win.
Jessica, usually we ask our guests to pay for being on the show, or that's what I've wanted to institute. But if you want, if whatever scraps you have left of that wallpaper, I wouldn't mind. So
it is
we'll
gorgeous.
Figure that out. Maybe you saw it. He knows where I live, so maybe he could.
The student becomes
I'll have him run it over.
The student becomes the master, is what we're looking at here.
Sure.
Now, Dia,
Yes.
We have some questions here that we Jessica is or is not uniquely qualified to answer. We're going to find out.
I think she is. I'm going to be honest. I think she is. Because she has all this lawyer expertise now.
Look, here's what Jessica has. Jessica came to this planet knowing what was good and what wasn't good.
She did. She did.
She is an aesthete.
An abida.
She has a highly developed moral sense of good and evil. And she also knows how to get what she wants in this world. And if that isn't a perfect combination of qualities,
that's a good combo.
In addition to being, you know, practically Mata Hari.
Sure.
Those were the qualities that allowed me to go to Rana Mountain.
This
you know,
is,
it
is
well, half, it is half just, bow with my hands open.
She was all right. She was the only thing she needed was a credit card with no limit. And now she probably has one.
Oh boy. Rana, speaking of which, I do need you to pay down some of my balance this month for some of the expenses that I had to do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. We should probably talk about that off the air. Huh?
Okay. Well, that's fine.
You're using your corporate card or using your personal card?
No, it was my personal because it was personal things. I needed some new, like, you know, shampoos and moisturizers. So anyway, Jessica, we don't have to talk about that here. Okay. Rana, should we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay. Would you like to read the first one, Rana? Or would you like to?
Sure. Question number one. As we say, dear, people write in because they're desperate. They have nowhere else to turn. All we do here is give our answers. You ask a question, you get an answer. It's that simple. But don't feel that you have to be kind to these people or hold back in any way. You answer the question as you see fit. Is that right, Brian?
Yes. And if you don't want to go to the Emmys, you just let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can't imagine that would ever be a possibility, but I'll keep that in the back of my mind.
Okay. Sure.
She's probably already going. She's certainly going to the parties. She's the talk of the town. She's the toast of Hollywood at the moment and somehow has made time for us.
I am very flattered.
Dear Rana, Brian with a capital Y, and wonderful guest. Longtime listener, first-time writer. I'm a big fan of the show. I followed Brian here from Attitudes and stayed for the twice-weekly laughs and thoughtful advice. I am a 26-year-old genderqueer, pronouns they, them, San Francisco. Recently, I was on an annual beach vacation in North Carolina with my dad's side of the family. I'm very close with my 7 paternal cousins, but my cousin Sean and I are practically siblings. We are only 6 weeks apart in age, went to the same college, and even though we no longer live near each other, we still have weekly calls and make efforts to see each other as much as possible. Sounds nice.
Nice.
Sean has a girlfriend, Caroline, whom he has been dating for 2 years. I've met her a handful of times. This is a great question for Jessica Gow because she does not like people that she doesn't like. Let's put it that way.
Good for her.
Is that
That's
fair,
actually
Jessica?
A wonderful
very
quality.
True. It's yeah. very, very true. I'm very much like a cat.
Yes.
Good for you.
If she doesn't like somebody, she doesn't like them. She doesn't spend her whole life trying to figure out why she doesn't like them and trying to like them.
She'll
just
go back under the bed or she'll swipe
not
you real fast.
For me.
Yes, exactly.
Not for me.
I might piss on a purse.
Right.
certainly in a shoe. Shoe is a great place to do that to someone because they don't know until they put this shoe on.
Right. Or if someone's wearing like nude hose, it's very sexy to take their high heel shoe off of them and pour champagne in it and then drink them.
Have you done that before, Brian?
I haven't, but in my sort of guiding light 1986 fantasies, I feel like somebody did.
I thought you only wore pantyhose with open toe shoes, but I guess I had it wrong.
Me?
That's who I thought you were. Yeah,
yeah that's who I am.
With a seam on the toe.
With the seam on the toe.
Yeah. I've met her a handful of times, including last year's beach reunion. But on every occasion, I have found her unbearably annoying. She's kind and generally good-natured, but misses social cues and doesn't mesh well with our greater family dynamic. Her inside voice is about as quiet as an air horn, with her tone about just as melodic. And she constantly needs to broadcast what she's doing. I came up from the beach to make a drink for me and Sean. She'll declare at me, unprovoked. In my family, we have a rule against taking pictures at the table, she'll announce. When my uncle takes a picture of his infant granddaughter eating lunch. I heard her declare, yeah, Sean and I can't play Catan together because we're too competitive. No less than 5 times during the week. She has what I have dubbed, quote, youngest child energy. Huh. Caroline constantly steers the conversation to mildly esoteric. I just had a shtetl.
Okay.
Mildly esoteric topics that can that only she can really engage in. She has to comment on everything, and she becomes singularly focused on a goal that she seemingly can't let go of. Example, she incessantly demanded to play a medium fun card game she brought, all caps, even after we played it on at least 3 occasions. Sean seems to be the only one not annoyed with Caroline. Many, including his mom, have vented privately to me about Caroline's grating nature. Everyone tries to be welcoming and inclusive and ask Caroline about things going on in her life, but it has gotten to a point where most of us try to avoid getting trapped with the blundering bulldozer. I've liked Sean's previous girlfriends and genuinely want to like Caroline, but the thought of this hurricane of social ineptitude permanently joining our family only gives me dread. Parenthetical. I'll note that I love the partners of my other cousins. They felt fit well with that family, even if they come from very different backgrounds. What does that mean? I have probed Sean for his thoughts on Caroline's behavior, and he notices some patterns, but attributes a lot of it to anxiety, which I know she struggles with and manages with a psychiatrist and therapist. However, Caroline has been around the family at least 6 times, so these neuroses seem more a part of her personality than a product of social anxiety. Overall, Sean is the type of 26-year-old straight man who won't break up with a girlfriend unless something is capital W wrong with the relationship. He's chill, sometimes to a fault, and doesn't mind being doted on by a girlfriend, a role Caroline seems happy to fill. Lucky him. Caroline and Sean are transitioning to a long-distance relationship in a few weeks when she moves to Colorado for grad school. Sean will stay in D.C., where they currently live separately. Boy, oh boy, I hope this letter is going to get to a point soon. My question is, I mean, what is your question? Can you even imagine what the question is before we get here? Should I talk to Sean about this, or should I grit my teeth and ban the cumulative 7 to 14 days I see Caroline a year and pray the long-distance relationship breaks them up so I can avoid head-on conflict? I don't think I should talk about it directly with Caroline. Yeah. But it's getting to a point where I have to suppress tensing my muscles, rolling my eyes, etc., to not be rude. However, resentment is starting to build and spill over, causing me and others to want to spend less time with Sean in order to avoid Caroline. Many thanks for your advice on this. Bothered in the Bay. Please don't use my name.
Jessica.
Baby Jessica.
Oh, Lord. Well, we should at some point tell Brian that I was named after baby Jessica who fell down the well.
That can't be true.
It is true.
Really?
True. Yes.
That's incredible.
We've got to set that aside for now, though, and
that's
talk
fine.
About
that's
what do you think? Jessica's her real name?
Well, I thought maybe, do they think because you were like a miracle?
Absolutely not.
Okay. No, they found a copy of People magazine laying around.
They liked the name.
With baby Rana. Jessica was it.
It's an incredible story.
How generous of you to think that my parents read periodicals.
So how did they hear about baby Jessica? Just in the news?
The news. Yeah. It was the news. Yeah.
The news made it to China.
No, we were in America. So
you were already here when you were named baby Jessica?
So when I was born in China, Brian. And
what is your birth name?
Thank God. Otherwise, that would have been really racist drama. So I'm glad you actually were born in China.
I know her.
She practically birthed me.
Yes.
My Chinese name is Gao Yang. Gao, like, you know, like my last name.
Sure. Yeah.
So when I moved to America at age 4, my parents did what most immigrant parents did, which is they anglicized a name that would make things easier for you. And they named me Helen. Because I think it was like one of 2 English names my mom knew. And and I think when she first moved here, she worked as a housekeeper for an old lady named Helen. So I think she was like, oh, well, that's a name. That's real.
Right.
and so she named me Helen. I was Helen for months. And a friend of hers said, I was visiting her and said, what did you rename your daughter? And she said, Helen. And her friend said, well, you know, that's like an old lady's name. And so my mom said, well, I don't want my daughter to have an old lady's name. She's just a child, you know? And so, so I have a distinct memory of coming home from preschool one day and my mom saying, before you go outside to play, what name do you like better, Jennifer or Jessica? Because this is the 80s. And I said, I don't know, Jessica. And then the next day she said, I'm changing your name to Jessica. And
that's
I thought, fantastic
story.
That is the most, what's the word? I don't know. I just lost.
Well, it's actually very loving.
No. First of all. Brian?
Well, I think so. To be like, I want you to feel comfortable.
Thing her but mother has ever done.
But she didn't
her
tell me.
Her mother is off the wall.
But she didn't tell you. That's the difference.
Her mother is a soap opera star of proportions that you can't imagine. It's the most reasonable decision she ever made.
Yes. But, and you know, and I thought if I knew I was picking my own name, I would have given it literally any thought. And I remember going to preschool the next day and the teacher announcing to the class that Helen was now Jessica. And everybody had to call Helen Jessica, you know? And I was like, okay. And
well,
so
do
then,
you prefer Helen?
No, I think I would have been, I think as a Helen or even as a Jennifer, I would have been very different.
I think you're a Jessica for sure.
I think I'm a, out of those three options, I think I'm a Jessica. I don't know if out of all the names I'm a Jessica, but I think out of those three, I'm definitely a Jessica.
But
that's so funny.
So for,
that is an amazing story.
For most of my, it doesn't end there, Brian. So
when I, so then
for the most of my life, I was convinced that she named me after Murder, She Wrote, Jessica Fletcher, because that was her favorite show. She watched it religiously every week. That was her favorite show in the entire world.
And so you thought that was an old lady name then?
Yeah. And I was like, well, sure. Well, but I was like, surely that's how she came upon this name, you know? Right. And then when I was in college, I realized, well, it's not like this is some deep, dark family secret. I could just openly ask her. It's not like everybody has to like keep it a secret. So I went home one weekend and I said, did you name me after Murder, She Wrote? And she said, no, you probably don't remember. But at the time, there was this baby who fell down a well and her name was Jessica. And I thought it was such a great name.
And here we are, baby Jessica.
This is one of my favorite stories I've ever heard on this show, I have to tell you.
I think she set you up for life. I think that it suits you.
Yeah. It works as a villain or hero origin story. Either one. You choose.
You know what? It really could have sliding doors. It could have gone one way or another.
What are we going to do about Caroline?
Yes, the bulldozer.
Really, what are we going to do about Bothered in the Bay?
Yeah. Well, the problem with Bothered in the Bay truly lost me when they said, you know, I of course can't talk to Caroline directly about it. And that's
as though that was some kind of option.
Yes. That's when I realized the baseline of propriety that we're working with is very different.
Yeah. This is what happens. People write these letters, you're going along, you have sympathy for them, and then it flips at some point occasionally. Yes. And you think, okay, this is one of those you're the problem letters.
Yes.
It is a little, because honestly, Sean's not the one writing the letter.
Yeah.
No. You know?
Yeah.
And
well, yeah.
Yeah, please.
For the first two thirds of this novel that we were listening to, this audiobook, with a wonderful narrator, of course.
Yeah.
Voiceover
artist.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I kept thinking like, well, why aren't they talking about what Sean's dynamic is like with Caroline? You know, like I wanted to know, like, then why is Sean so
do we care about Sean in any way, or do we only care about our time, the 7 to 14 days a year that we have to see Caroline?
Yes.
Is Sean happy? Your cousin that you love so much, who is your best friend from birth, et cetera, et cetera. This is life.
There are some people who, I mean, I think everyone has probably experienced this, whether it's with a good friend who's dating someone awful or has married someone awful, who's just sort of a little insufferable. There's really nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. There just isn't. These are adults. And also, by the way, Sean, to me, from the little glimpse you've given us of him, he's probably looking forward to this long distance thing as much as you are. He seems to me like the kind of person who can't actively break up with somebody.
Yeah.
He seems to me like the kind of person who wants to fade to black on a relationship and not deal with it. So I would be surprised if they stay together through this at all. However, she does sound obnoxious as hell. Mm-hmm. I know this person. I'm sure we all know this person, this insufferable, loudmouth, I don't even know, just absent of any tone of how to read a room.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this is Sean's problem. I think your problem is then don't go on these vacations.
Yes. Or go on these vacations, but just know that you will have to, it's your responsibility to remove yourself from these situations that irritate you.
Bingo. Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
This person's 26. Yeah. I have news for you.
Bored in the Bay is 26?
This, yes. Bothered in the Bay is 26. Mm-hmm. This is the canary in the mine shaft of the relationships of the first half of your life. Okay? This is what happens. Everybody thinks until they're about 35 that everybody that they know, that they've already known their whole life, are the only people that matter in the world. And that's their family, and that these are the people that are their friends. And how will they ever survive if these people marry people that they don't like, or are boyfriends or girlfriends with people that they don't like, et cetera, et cetera. Welcome to the next decade of your life. If you are lucky, three or four of the people who you love and value and love to spend time with will find partners that you like, or that you can tolerate, or that you play golf with.
Yeah.
Or that you don't mind going to get an ice cream cone with their spouse when they're doing something, you know. Congratulations. If three or four of those, you have absolutely hit the jackpot, triple cherries. If three or four of the people that are important to you in your life find partners that you would also be happy to count among your friends and family. Mm. Everyone else will marry or date someone that is somewhere on the scale of mildly annoying to insufferable. And those relationships, you will either weather that or you will not. And all kinds of people will just recede into the background of your life, and you must allow them to. And then there will be other things that get in the way. Jobs, geography, this, that. And your job will be to either maintain those connections or maintain the individual connection, or to let those people become people that are fun when you see them, et cetera, et cetera. You see these people a couple times a year. It sounds like you're very close with your cousin. You talk to him all the time. You have a wonderful relationship with him. He's not going to marry this girl, okay?
No.
If he does, tough nuts.
Yeah. Write in again and we'll give you similar advice.
We'll give you if he does, we'll give you the same advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it'll
also
just become more specific, which is, well, we rented a house together and then she said this and she wants to do that. And the answer is you don't like her and no one else likes her and his mother doesn't like her. And that's fine. Yeah. And he's either going to marry someone that people don't like or he's not. Mm-hmm. But I think probably this long distance relationship will test the mettle of this relationship. But really, what are you so, I mean, honestly, I hate to say it because I don't like to not meet people where they are. Meaning you're 26. I'm not faulting you for that. You are where you are in this world and on this journey. But your opinion of her is a little immature. And just meaning you have to find a way to not care too much or to enjoy complaining about her. Those are the two things that you can do. But he's allowed to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing good will come out of a conversation because is the best case scenario? What do you realistically think will happen if you go to Sean?
I hate your girlfriend?
Yeah, your beloved.
Thank you so much for telling me.
I'll probably never want to be around you again.
Yeah, what a great person you are. I'm telling you, I'm with this person and I love her. Or even worse, I'm with this person and I wish I was broken up with her. And you're going to throw it in my face?
Because guess
That's
what?
That's a terrible feeling.
If you say that to Sean and he doesn't break up with her, which he probably wouldn't, all of a sudden you're someone that he doesn't want Caroline to have to be around.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Or he feels uncomfortable that you're going to be around her. I mean, there's no good solution with being honest here, really.
Well, this is why I started the conversation by asking, is Sean's happiness interesting to you at all?
Mm-hmm.
Or is only your dynamic with Sean interesting to you?
Mm-hmm.
And you're sad you lost your friend and your playmate and you have to listen to, you know, Babblebot come up from the beach and announce that she's making a sandwich. And of course she's the worst. Of course she is.
That sounds awful. Yeah.
But so what?
Yeah.
Do you care about your relationship with Sean? That is the thing that you should care about. And if you do, you should be a nice person about it and you should weather this storm and not wonder if you should have a word with her about her personality. Quick question about your personality. Do you think you could be less annoying?
Could you change it? And could, no follow-up
could
questions.
Could you do me a favor and never talk?
Jessica, I don't like anyone Ronna dates. But that, I think they're not good people.
Well, you do when they invite you on their plane.
It's nice when they invite me on the plane, but
he
it's
doesn't
not very
like
nice
people that has have offshore tax shelters. There's nothing
but
I can do
weirdly,
about that.
Weirdly, the moment you enter a plane and then between that time and when you deboard the plane, you really like them and you don't mind them at all. But strangely,
correct.
Off the plane, they just really grate on you.
You get it. You get it. Exactly. I can't explain it. I don't know that anyone could, but you understand that. Yes, that's true. That is it. I don't know why. That is what happens. Should we go to the next question?
Next.
Okay. Dear Ronna and Brian and fabulous guest, I hope this message finds you well. I am a dedicated fan and evangelist of the podcast. What do you think of that word, Ronna?
Well,
a pickle has been
grinding.
Like
yeah, good, the Ronna Ministries, I like that.
Yeah. Well, we've long said that this is a Ronna cult. No
the Marblehead Ministries. I like Marblehead Ministries.
I like that too.
Yeah. Separating Ronna and state.
I'll be your Tammy Faye.
Oh, very. I mean, if I'm nothing if not a defender of the Republic.
And a union buster.
Yeah.
From a long time
ago. I'm a union buster from way back. Yeah.
I hope this message finds you well. I already said this. I'm a dedicated fan and evangelist of the podcast. Okay, this is the most disgusting sentence I've ever read. What's about to happen?
I doubt it.
A pickle has been brining in my life.
Ugh.
And I couldn't think of better parties to turn to for advice. See, I told you it's bad.
They mean they're in a pickle, but they thought this was a fun way
this
to say it.
This would be a cuter way to say it. Yeah. And it got a reaction. My older brother and his wife are expecting their first child any day.
Okay.
This will be my parents' first grandchild. A couple of times the subject has come up about what their grandparent names will be. The children of family friends have always had a pet name for my mom, which she likes and feels will parlay well into a grandmother name.
Cookie Bunny.
Sure. My dad, however, gets very grumpy when the subject comes up. In general, he does not have the best sense of humor, and this topic is no exception. I suggested some silly names that he bristles at. He also shrugs off suggestions of something more straightforward like granddad or grandpa. The other night, he finally admitted...
Macho.
He finally admitted there was a name he would be excited about. Mm-hmm. We begged him to share, which he did. The name, Abuelo. For context, it means grandfather in Spanish.
For people that don't know.
Our family is white and not Hispanic.
Knew it.
Or Latinx.
Knew it.
My dad spent significant stretches of time in Mexico.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
One period was 4 years. I wouldn't call that significant.
No.
In his young adult
it's
bachelor
not nothing,
days,
but he didn't take citizenship.
Right.
That's an undergraduate
over
degree.
Over a lifetime of a grandfather.
Yeah.
But that is the end of any tie he has to a Spanish-speaking country or people. My parents are socially liberal. Oh, I bet they are.
Mm.
And generally informed. They are, however, like many of their demographic, very defensive when it is implied that any of their own behavior might be problematic or appropriative.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They sound fabulous.
Yes, yes.
They sound like parents. They sound like white parents.
They do sound like, at least they're voting in the right direction, but they do sound like parents.
They
do.
Mm-hmm. The idea of trying to explain to my dad why it would be weird for his grandchild to call him Abuelo feels exhausting and not the hill I want to die on right now. But I also am not game for this to be his grandfather moniker for this child or any other possible future grandchildren. What should I do? My brother and sister-in-law have not heard about the Abuelo situation yet. This is a pickle that needs to be brined, I'll tell you. But they will definitely, this pickle is a brining, baby.
Yeah.
Ronna, that's our new merch. But they will definitely fall into my camp.
Why aren't we selling pickles?
We should be selling pickles. Or I just want you in a shirt that says, this pickle is
flavored
brining.
Gum.
That would be a great
idea. Oh, I'd love that.
Me too.
Yuck.
Have you ever had the dill pickle hummus from Trader Joe's?
No, I've only had the pickle popcorn.
Delicious.
Gross.
Ronna loves Trader Joe's. My brother and sister-in-law have not heard about the Abuelo situation yet, but they will definitely fall into my camp. Maybe I'm overthinking it as the kid won't speak for a while. Do I just drop it? Ronna, how did you approach this for baby Steve? Help. Thanks for any and all advice with endless appreciation. Please don't use my name.
Use
okay,
my
so
name.
We'll beep that. Help. Big that. Help. Thank you for any and all advice with endless appreciation.
Well, first of all, it's not a problem. Let's start there.
Well, but we can't call her that.
Well, let's come up with a fake name for the writer.
Okay.
What do you want to call her? Helen?
Let's call her Helen. Let's call her Helen. That's perfect.
Appropriately okay. White.
Yeah. Helen, what are we going to do about Helen's problem here? Helen, not the real name, just so people know. We're calling her Helen.
We're calling her Helen.
Yes. Baby Jessica, what do you think?
Oof. Well, I mean, these are the kind of the worst type of people, because they are the kind of people who act like being called racist is absolutely worse than being a victim of racism. Like, nothing is, you know. Yeah. Nothing is worse.
Well said.
Yeah.
And it's just the worst, because it's so... The goodness in them is very performative then in that case. You know, they want to be perceived. It's more important to be perceived as good than to actually do the work of being good. And it's so funny even just bring up putting work into it, because this requires zero effort. Like it takes you an extra step to be offensive in this instance. And I mean, I think we all know, and I think the writer knows, there is no way in hell you can have any children in your family call him abuelo. Like, that is not okay. That is not on the table.
No.
Unless their parents are ready to accept that they can just be full-blown openly racist villains, then fine. If you want to be open, like, racist, then I guess you've earned it, you know? But you just have to...
I don't think it's racist. I just think it's not yours. I think there's a difference between that. I do think that I don't think this is an act of racism on the part of the grandparents. I think it's an ignorance on the part of the grandfather to know that that doesn't belong to him. But he's not trying to perpetrate an act of racism on someone. He is appropriating something that doesn't belong to him.
Well, sure, I think we should talk about racism as a spectrum, you know.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think racism should be discussed as a spectrum, in the sense that, you know, of course there's the easy to identify racism of like a Klansman, you know, very easy. But then there's a lot of shades of gray, you know, in terms of, and I think it's those shades of the gray that make people like these parents afraid of the racist word, you know, because of course nobody wants to think of themselves that way unless they're like very proud of it.
Yeah.
But it is a spectrum, and there are so many different shades of it, you know, and I think that appropriation and
intent is part of that. I just want to say that that's an important differentiation, which is
I'm not forgiving of his intent, though, because
his intent is not to. Well, I don't like what he's doing, but his intent is not to offend a whole group of people. But he's still doing it.
Go ahead.
I think he's being a bit of a shitster.
I do too, because he was so grumpy about every name and then comes out with that.
Yes.
I don't think it's an accident.
Yeah. He didn't even want to have be called the most. Well, he didn't even. He was so grumpy about all the different names, rejected all the cute ones. And he even rejected the very traditional, like grandpa, you know, all the like very normal traditional names. And then when they finally said, okay, well, then you tell us what you want to be called. He goes away into his, you know, secret racism cave. And then he comes back and is like, I know what I want to be called. Abuelo. You know?
I think he went into his macho youth cave. And I think
they're hand in hand.
Well, maybe. But I think he thinks of himself. I think, and I would love to know what the letter writer thinks at the end of this. But I think he is having trouble with the idea that he's going to be a grandfather. I think this is threatening his youthful sense of himself in some way. And so what he's trying to do is remove himself a couple of clicks from someone looking at him like he's an old man. And what that has done is sent him back into
his psyche.
Well,
he looks like an old man with this name.
I agree.
Just so you know.
But it has
this is like an old man move.
It has sent him back into his psyche to a time when I bet you there's all kinds of things in his house that none of us would be happy with. From his time in Mexico.
Right.
That he feels connected to that place, and that's how he feels sexy. And that this is part of his appropriation of that, and that he's decided, oh, that's kind of sexy. That's what I think.
I think that's very generous. And I do think that is a possibility, you know, but
I don't like it and I don't support it. Yeah. And I don't think it should happen.
I think if it were just about youth, then why didn't he go with like a funny or cute name? You know, why did he have to specifically choose this other culture? Like,
right.
He also could
have
been
go with gringo. That's probably what they call it, you know?
Or like, why doesn't he have if it's really about youth, why not have the kid, the baby call him by his name? Call me Joe. Call, yep. You know,
that's what my mom
there does. Were so many other versions of, you know, to not feel old, you know, and none of those needed to involve another culture. So I do think it was very specific.
I think he's probably been appropriating Mexican culture long before mm-hmm. this is sort of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's
true.
Part of his identity because he lived there for 4 years.
Right. Maybe that was when he was in his prime and he felt the most virile.
Correct. That's mm-hmm. what I think.
Yeah. I do think that there was some intent here. I think he's being a hard ass for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was just like, this was his leave me alone card, or like, look what I'm going to do, or being macho.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is so stupid. But I do think, and Jessica, I defer to you on this to tell me that mm-hmm. that's a terrible move. I do think that the letter writer could say, Dad, I'm sure you don't mean it to be, but that's actually pretty racist.
I hope they've said that to him.
I mean, I do think it's okay to call that racist because it is racist. I think you could probably add in, I don't know if you meant it to be,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
but that's what this is.
Yeah, you can come at it from, I've had a lot of experience framing things for fragile white male egos.
Right.
you know, you can come at it from I want to protect you. You know, like, even if this isn't your intention, I want to protect you from how it's going to be perceived. And there are consequences to being perceived this way. And I am telling you, you will absolutely be perceived this way. Are you okay with that? Is that what you want?
And I don't think this is who you are.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the grandchild's going to want to have to learn this lesson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why do you call him that? You know?
I also think the answer is just no.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes.
I just think, think abuela, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I like it. I thought about it. Well, nope.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't try it because no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that really is the simplest thing. And
I think, why not? Yeah. You really want to know? Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you mean it's racist? It's a love letter.
What's your father's actual background?
Like,
that's what he's going to say, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Another fly.
Yeah.
I think that find out what your dad's background is if you want something cultural. Maybe he's Scandi. Maybe he's Irish. Maybe who knows? Go with that.
We're just going to call you that guy until you figure out what you're happy with.
Yeah.
Right. And that guy's coming to see you today with Grandma Cookie, and that guy coming to see you today.
Papa Fragile.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, but as a backup,
Papa
definitely use Beard Papa.
Definitely Beard Papa.
Yeah,
definitely
or Lou Ferrigno.
Lou Ferrigno.
That's a great name for Grandpa.
Find out whoever the person is that he idolized in his youth and say, you know, we're going to just say Cookie and Kevin Costner are coming to see you today.
Or you could say you're a Miranda. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But I also don't think it's necessarily your job to tell him. I think your sister can tell him.
If he told you, you can tell him.
Yes. But I think, you know,
if you want to get into
page.
It.
Yeah,
sure.
Get on the same page with your sibling.
That. Sure.
Yeah.
But you should certainly tell your sister.
Yeah.
No, you could tell him no bueno. Ha ha, just kidding.
Rana.
Kinder bueno? No. It's a candy bar.
Oh,
it's delicious.
Is it good?
Oh, it's one of the best candy bars out there.
Oh, I've never had it.
See how mad he got till he found out it was a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said Kinder. And I
know.
I was like, well,
I'm so sorry about Admiral Whiskers.
I did say
just
Kinder.
Wailing.
Is that the kitty?
Yes.
I'm going to let him in
because he gets very offended when there's a closed door. As
well, and if he knows I'm on the phone, he's not going to be happy about it.
Rana, don't be mean to this cat. I won't be able to handle it.
Oh, no, I like Admiral Whiskers.
Oh, okay, good.
He sends me a Christmas card every year.
Because I remember one time you told me that you thought cats were kind of anti-Semitic.
Oh, for sure. But but Admiral Whiskers sends me a Christmas card every year.
Does he really?
Yeah.
He does,
he's beautiful.
He's
a star.
Thank you.
He's a star.
Hi.
How much does Admiral Whiskers weigh these days?
He's a svelte 12.
I got to tell you, Admiral Whiskers looks like he could pull off like a Halston.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he often wears a cap.
Mm-hmm. Yep, perfect. Yeah.
That was custom made for him. Thank you very much.
Fabulous. Yeah.
No, he's Admiral Whiskers is a star. No question.
He's got the life.
He's appeared in the pages of the Hollywood Reporter.
Yes, he has. Mm-hmm.
Does he have representation?
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful yes. spread, by the way, dear Jessica Gow.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Pardon me. People should Google that.
He's also on She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Is he? What episode is he in?
Episode 4, but it was in the trailer. It was in the very first trailer that was released. He, along with his father, are in one of the photos on Tinder that She-Hulk swiped right on.
Yes, of course. That's right. Yes. I saw that.
So
very
he's Marvel
funny.
Canon.
And you know what I think is great? The Admiral could take it or leave it.
It's true. Okay,
well,
buddy.
He's still talking.
He's still talking.
That's I'm okay. Sorry. Nothing you know, we can do.
It's fine. I love the sounds of the of
We'll
the,
fix
of the
it
animals.
In post. We'll fix
yes,
it in
yes,
post.
Yes, yes, yes. I've spoken to an animal communicator, otherwise known as a animal psychic.
Psychic. Yes. I almost went to one once. What did they say?
It's wonderful. Well, so I said, can you please, I really want to talk to him about his behavior when I'm on a Zoom because I'm working usually. And she says, you can imagine how many cats I've explained Zoom to.
Right.
She's.
That's incredible.
That's my favorite response to
we have to see
if anything.
We have to see if we can book her for next week.
Oh, no kidding. You must. And
she can talk to Sherman.
So she really captured him because he wanted to know, can the people see me? And I said, yes. And then he said, can they hear me? And she warned me. She said, be careful, Jessica. Do you really want him to know the answer to this? And I said, yes. And he said, well, everybody likes me. So of course they want to see me and they want to hear me. And I said, but I'm working when I'm on this, you know, this is part of my job. And he said, no, everybody likes me. And
I don't like
I gotta
this,
tell you
I don't
the
like
difference
this psychic.
Between the difference between a cat and a dog right there is the dog yes. would say, oh, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. Yeah. I'm sorry. And a cat's like, no, this way.
Yeah. Well, the cat's like, you didn't know.
Right.
You know, that's their, they're like, well, didn't know.
But did that ring true to you or not?
Yes, several times now. So of course I immediately tell this to everybody I was working with in post, like our entire editorial team. And I think I might have told them like the first time I met them, and I'm sure they all thought I was a cuckoo bird. But there have been times, you know, every time I get on a Zoom with them, he starts screaming his head off. So finally I said, let me just try this. I picked him up. I held him up to the camera. I pointed at everybody, like 20 little boxes on Zoom, all waved at him and said, hi, Admiral. We love you. We see you.
How did it work?
And he stared at the screen intently. And then I put him down, not a peep. And I've done that on 5 different occasions. And
Well, I think you're going to get a reputation as out there.
You know what?
Whatever that's how you start a Zoom with your team is introducing
yes,
your cat.
Are pet true. Psychics transferable to babies? Because I'm wondering if Steve, maybe if there was anything.
I'll be honest with you. I was wondering the same thing when she was describing it. I was, because Steve has a lot to say.
Steve does have opinions for sure.
Steve stole a story I told her the other day. I told Steve a story and she told it to everyone else like it was her story. If you can imagine such a thing.
That's bold. She's
I mean,
be
she's pretty young to be pretty young to be.
She's ready to showboat.
Yeah, she's going places. She's going places.
I told
she should
her
have representation.
A story about how there was an owl in the tree. And then everyone who came into the house, she told them there was an owl in the tree. And I said, I told you that. I don't know why you are telling that.
She was adapting for television. Or yeah. She was adapting for living room.
That's right.
In any event. Okay. Am I reading the last one or are you reading the last one?
Well, technically you are, but I'm happy to read it if you would prefer that.
I'll read it and then you can read the cliffhanger.
You got it, Ron.
Dear Ron and Brian, long time listener, first time Oscar, I am in desperate need of your advice. One of my friends, let's call him Marie, wants me to host her baby shower. The main problem is that she lives in Washington and I live in Wisconsin. Doesn't matter, I suppose, whether it's Washington State or Washington, D.C. Probably right. equally as far away.
Yeah.
We have been friends since we were 16, but have not lived in the same state since high school and are good at maintaining a long-distance friendship. I have never visited her, and she visits once or twice a year because I still live near her family. I love her dearly, but hosting a baby shower seems like a huge ask to me. I am not an event planner and have never planned any kind of party in my life. I also have severe social anxiety. For extra context, she says her husband's family dislikes her, which is why they aren't going to throw her one, and her whole family lives in Wisconsin and would rather wait to visit until the baby is born. I'm confused here.
So who's going to the shower?
Is the shower going to be in Washington or in Wisconsin? She is making me feel guilty about being hesitant to host. She has already said she, quote, won't be my friend if I don't agree to do this. Am I a bad friend? Should I suck it up and do it? Or is there a good way to turn her down? Please help. Thank you. Antisocial in Wisconsin. We got a little pre-follow-up. Hello again. I just realized I never said how old we are now. We are both 31. Wow. I don't understand if this show is in Wisconsin or in Washington, but
yeah, there were a lot of details to keep track of, which I did a very poor job of, but
it must be,
I believe that it's going to be in Washington
because otherwise why would she say that the family says they'll wait to meet the baby, right?
Yeah, it's going to be in Washington. The letter writer lives in Wisconsin. The person of interest lives in Washington.
And the Wisconsin friend, the letter writer, has to go and throw a baby shower in a city
that they've never been to.
Yes. Yeah. For a friend who would give them an insane ultimatum.
For a friend who said it's this or the friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, what is this friendship? You don't need this friendship. Like, let her sit, take away the friendship.
Now, this is going to sound, this is going to sound very sexist.
Can't wait.
But I want to know if there is a thing for, I mean, Rana, you had a child with Jordan however many years ago, and this whole thing. Is it true that emotions can run
I had a child with Jordan.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I know. I mean, you'd probably.
Jordan, my son, and I had a child together.
No, not at all. Sorry.
Feels that way on occasion, but no, that's not the case.
You and
Jordan was
your ex-husband. Yeah. You and your ex-husband.
My deceased husband, yeah.
I don't know the difference. But anyway, so you and your ex-husband had Jordan.
Correct.
So I'm wondering, is it true? You see in movies that a lot of times emotions run very high with someone who's about to give birth. Is that a real thing? That's my question. Because maybe the friend didn't mean to say that. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the point you're making is an excellent point overall in life. Whether it goes for at this moment or when people seem to be sort of have lost their wits a bit, shall we say.
Sure.
The way that you react to that, first of all, I always think you should be kind. I always really do. And especially, yes, do I think that she might be in a heightened emotional state? Possibly. Okay? That was not really my personal experience. That was a big problem for me as it related to how I related to other people.
Yeah.
But for sure, it is a intense and identity-altering time in your life. That things are heightened, yes. Not necessarily heightened in a way where you're making poor decisions.
Right.
But everyone is different, and this friend could be, their hormones could be through the roof. Look, Admiral Whisk is not pregnant, but still behaving crazy. But I think you can handle people with kid gloves, especially if you're unclear whether it's this or they're having a mental break or they're having, you know, any number of things in life, or they're experiencing loss, or they're having a difficult time. There's no reason to try to make it worse for someone or to poke the bear, as they say. But I do think it is important that you stay true to yourself in those moments and that you do not have to be dishonest with someone just because they're not going to like the answer that you give them. So sometimes in life we say, oh, just put it off. But it always feels good to say, no, thank you. I don't want to. Not quite like that, but I think what you're asking me to do, I really just don't think I can do it at this time. It's not possible for me. I can't get the time off work. I can't come. I can't. I don't know any of your friends. I really don't feel comfortable. You should find someone to do this for you who's going to do it the way that you want it to be done. And that person is not me. I'd love to be there or not. Or when you come to Wisconsin, I'd love to do something, a sip and see once the baby is born. If you want to come to my house, we could do a, I have no idea, side of donuts party on a Sunday and everybody can come over and I'd love it. I'd love
could you
to
maybe
host
ask
something for
to
you
like,
then.
I would love to contribute money for this party. You could put my name on the invitation if you like. Like there are other ways I could be there for you, but I can't throw this party. It's just not my gig.
This is not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am afraid that this person, yes, they're in a heightened state, but also feels like they don't have any boundaries. And I'm very afraid that if you make any sort of offer, they're going to overstep.
Fair enough.
You know,
I was
having trouble following the first part of the letter. I mean, a big part of it is because my cat was being an absolute butthole, but, but
I can read it again.
Was there,
or you can ask, what's your question? Yeah.
Well, so the question was, did they ever cover why they were chosen to do this? Like why the friend doesn't have any close friends?
No, but I can tell you why. They don't have any friends.
Yes. And I was wondering how long the friend had been living away from their hometown.
These people have been friends since they were 16. Mm-hmm. And that person does not have any friends in her life.
Yes.
Her in-laws don't like her. Mm-hmm. And that stinks.
I am sympathetic to that. I mean, bottom line, I don't think she should have said, or our friendship is over, period.
Well, yes. But because she said that is the reason why no one likes her.
Yes.
Because this is how she behaves.
Yes. You got a very clear indication of the way this person moves through life.
You are old friends with this person. You are not good friends with this person.
Yes. And it's okay to move on from an old friendship that you've outlived.
Yes. And you also, but you also don't have to move on. You could, you keep it right where, the problem is that she overstepped the boundary to ask you for this thing. You were fine with it right where it was. When she comes home, I see her, we talk all the time. It's fine. I'm managing it. You allude to the fact in the letter that it needs to be managed. That she's, you know, that maybe they wouldn't be friends if they still lived in the same town kind of thing. But she has now overstepped by asking you for the shower. And you just really have to say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I really, I'm honored that you asked and flattered, but I don't feel comfortable. But, and we're not going to be, this could be the end of our friendship. And I think you should say, well, I would be really sad if that's the case. But if that's really how you feel about me not feeling comfortable wanting to do this thing for you, if that's the thing that this friendship is hanging by a thread, I guess there isn't much I can say about that. I thought our friendship was based on the 31 years that we've known each other before that. Sure. If it's based on this one event, I guess it doesn't mean that much to you. So, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry you feel that way.
And also, this is not a situation where you said yes and it's the day before the shower and now you're backing out. You know what I mean? Like, this is a situation where you have not committed to
anything. It's not a reasonable ask or expectation.
And I think that probably where this parent-to-be is coming from, and I understand that, is I cannot throw the shower for myself. It will be so embarrassing. I don't have any family support. I don't have any friends here. But I think that both of you make a great point with sort of, well, maybe look inward then. Why is that the case?
But I do think you're correct, Brian, in that this person is experiencing a heightened sense of isolation, this, that. I mean, having a child is one of these focusing moments in life where the community either comes together around you or they don't. And it is hard to notice if they don't. You know who your friends and family are when you get married, when you have a child, when you have whatever the milestones are in life. I don't just mean these feminine milestones. When you have a fabulous TV show come out, people either show up and compliment you or you don't hear from them. And you sort of, you know, and I don't mean that everyone is standing around waiting to find out what's going on at your work, but when something major happens and people are in your orbit and they don't comment, you both know who those people are. Mm-hmm. And you sort of think, huh. I mean, I told everybody my show was coming out. I don't care if they watch it, but they could say congratulations. Would it kill them to be happy for me? And the answer is you've either burnt, not for you two, but for this person, she's either burnt all those bridges or her behavior's erratic or whatever it is. She's a difficult person or she's whatever, or she moved away and never found a community there. And all of those things are tinged with a little bit of a liner of sadness. And I do think it would be perfectly nice if when she came, whenever she comes with the baby, if you did say, I'd love to do a little something when you come with the baby.
Sip and see, sip and see. Mm-hmm.
Sip and see. But I'm not prepared, especially during the pandemic, to come to Washington and do this for you. I'm just not. And if that is the end of our friendship, that's totally heartbreaking to me. But I have to respect how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. You were never obligated to be told to host something for somebody else. You're just never obligated to do
that.
Yeah,
but this person lives on the other side of the country, so you haven't had to deal with this. But this is what it would be like if you lived next door to her.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't had to draw your boundary before.
Yeah.
But she brought the boundary to your lap. So now you have to say,
get out the chalk.
Here's the get out the diatomaceous earth.
Sure.
When somebody wrote in to complain, Brian, that I had
that we saying it too much.
Diatomaceous instead of diatomaceous.
Well,
it was that Henry from Washington, D.C.
I know
who always
one.
Writes in to correct me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is.
All right, Jessica.
What have we got here, Brian?
We have reached the end of the show. We've reached the end of the show where we decide, we choose one of the people who wrote in to get something nice. We'll send them a little prize. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the most sympathetic person. It's just whoever you have a feeling for. It
doesn't have to be the saddest sack.
Just to recap who we've had.
Just whoever you have a feeling for.
We've had Wisconsin, who we just talked about. We've also had the abuelo, the daughter who is terrified of that her father's going to do that.
I've already stricken that from my memory.
Abuelita.
Yep. And we also have the person whose cousin's girlfriend is awful.
Caroline.
Yes.
I gotta say, this isn't the most sympathetic group this week.
No, it's not. So I would say the most sympathetic is Wisconsin.
I agree.
It's tough. It's tough because they clearly want to do the right thing and be a nice person. And, you know, and they're kind of getting run over by a friend with no boundaries. And it's very hard as an adult to figure out, you know, everybody knows how to break up with a partner, but
yeah,
you don't, you know, there's no rule book for how to break up with a friend.
Well, and it's also not a good feeling when you're a nice, kind, generous person who's even considering this insane request,
which it sounds like they are.
Yeah. It's not a good feeling when someone tests your nice-ometer.
Mm-hmm. No.
And they want to see how far the needle goes. And so it makes you start to question if you are not a nice person anymore. And the answer is not that you are not nice or generous or any of the wonderful things that you are, because obviously you are. I listen to this podcast. The answer is that your friend is pushing the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly has a personality disorder. Definitely doesn't have any friends.
Yeah. It is not right for them to put you in that position.
Don't get dragged into the quicksand.
Yes.
We often talk about this. Is someone either dragging you down or are they pulling you up?
Mm-hmm.
My first advice to you is to download Beyoncé's Resurrection and really groove to it.
Mm.
Because I think it inspires confidence.
Yeah, it's inspiring Whiskers to sing along.
See?
What are we going to give this person, Brian?
Something that makes them feel good.
We often give Jessica, we often give a beautiful candle. We often give
a cow shed product, I know.
A cow shed?
Occasionally we'll give a cow shed scrub. I just got my latest. Once a year, cow shed does a sale, and I order all of my spearmint body scrub at that time for the year.
It smells so
good. I just got a pallet of spearmint body scrub.
Well, can you spare one for our dear letter writer?
No.
Okay. Well, what about...
They're very active. I have to keep clicking refresh because they run out of it and then they have to make more because they have to pull the spearmint out of the garden at the cow shed in Babington House where I have been on several occasions.
What about the Suzanne Guan?
Excuse?
Suzanne Kaufman?
Oh, Suzanne Kaufman. Body salt. Bath salts.
Yeah. No.
Well, now that you've mentioned my gorgeous scrub, we can send them one if we can get our hands on one, but I'm not sending one of mine.
What are the other options? I would love to know what the options are.
The options are endless.
We do a Lavabo Palo Santo candle.
A gold belly gift card.
We do a gold belly gift card.
A Lavabo Palo Santo. Sometimes we do a Santa Maria Novella product.
That sounds nice.
We do. Not Foot, no. Wisconsin.
Let's do a Gold Belly gift card because this person's going to get roped into doing something for this friend, and maybe they can spend the Gold Belly.
But these things are not transferable. We want whatever they get, they have to spend it on themselves.
By the way, you know what you should do? You should get cupcakes or donuts that say, like, congrats, it's a girl or it's a boy, but eat them while you're on the phone with her telling her you can't throw the shower.
Well, you know what's funny is there's a bakery in Minneapolis that's on Gold Belly. I think they're called Angel Bakery. I can't remember. Okay. But I often will send my niece, my nephew, my little cousin, whatever they are, I will send them happy birthday or Mazel Tov donuts on their birthday. So they wake up to happy birthday donuts.
Oh, that's very cute.
All right, Gold Belly it is.
There we go.
If you're desperate for the scrub, write into us now that we've talked about it, and we'll give you the scrub instead.
You better send a thank you, though, if you take that scrub.
Oh, you know this person will. They were about to throw up.
That's true.
This is a lovely
person who is struggling with someone testing their their idea of themselves.
Is there any way we could just send them some spearmint?
Or spearmint gum?
No, just spearmint.
Pickle
or
gum.
Or the gum. Wrigley's.
So they can make their own scrub. Is that what you're getting at?
Just let the sit the gum out till it's stale. Grind it up into crumbs. Rub it all over your body.
Jessica Gow,
what a pleasure.
She-Hulk attorney at law. I cannot wait to watch the second episode tonight, which I will be doing.
Yes, every Thursday on Disney Plus.
Every Thursday on Disney Plus.
And there's how many episodes?
Nine episodes.
Mm-hmm. It's only got the most talented cast in the world. It's only got the best reviews in the world. And it's only got the top of the heap, Jessica Gow, doing the show.
Truly, I had such a ball watching this pilot. I cannot wait to watch the next episode. I mean,
I'm so happy.
Can we just have a little fun?
Exactly.
Is it all right if we have a little fun?
Great call.
Or does everything have to be a struggle? Can I have a little fun with a little bit of reality slid under the covers? Pardon me. A little fun humor that's also poking a hole in the balloon that is our culture at the very same time.
Correct.
Excuse me.
If I have to watch one more episode of Picket Fences, you know what I mean? So I'm thrilled. She-Hulk Attorney at Law is the show of the year. No doubt about it.
Disney Plus, streaming now.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. This was such a pleasure.
Mwah! We love you. Come back to the Carriage House.
Always.
Dia.
Doll. Just read the cliffhanger, please. Here we go. Hello, Ronner and Brian, capital Y. I like it. Love you too. My husband and I are honored to hold the AR Social Club COD.
Oh.
Yes, we're sharing.
Hmm.
I gifted the membership to him, but I'm a stay-at-home mom and have very little monetary income.
Okay.
I introduced him to the pod, made the room in the budget, was thrilled at the opportunity to support the podcast more than just Patreon and coffee purchases, excuse me. So I feel worthy. You know what? I think you're worthy too. I hope you can offer us this exception. As far as I'm concerned, exception offered, but I don't really actually
I was
have a
going
vote
to
this.
Say Brian doesn't really make
I don't really have a vote.
The Yeah, he doesn't really make the judgment.
No, it's a symbolic vote.
Lucky for this person, it's August.
Regardless,
so I'm going to let it slide.
Regardless of the slap on the wrist I may receive, we loved the June box. July, you had me at the stunning Matchbox.
Yeah, they're talking about the matches that came
that are beautiful that are right on my bar right now.
Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah.
I'm first writing to ask Rana. I don't know how you're going to take this. Are you somehow related to Jill Zarin? Or are you friends?
What?
Do you give her advice privately?
What?
The level of class she brings to the Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which she does, is only measurable to the level of your own. She's gorgeous. You're gorgeous. P.S. If you watched, it's a true gift. It is a true gift. Especially when the women gather at Bluestone Manor. Highly recommend.
Okay. Well, I really am not taking that as a compliment of any kind.
I knew you wouldn't.
But you've told me a couple of times to watch, so
it's worth it. Don't watch season one. Watch the Bluestone Manor season.
Don't confuse me with Jill Zarin.
Never. Okay? Never.
No.
Second, and the primary reason for writing, this is only mildly Jill Zarin related. I apologize. Ron and Brian, how do I, as a 40-plus-year-old woman, don't retch, Ronna. I know how you feel about women of a certain age. navigate my gal pal group with grace and kindness and stuff. She calls people who are like 33 and old.
You know, I think it's disgusting that anyone lives to be over 40, but yeah.
I commonly experience silly feelings of being left out of the gal pal group. I overthink carelessly written text messages. I judge bad behavior, engage in side conversations, etc. Am I a toxic friend or is this just the nature of ladies' groups? It would be hard to list specific examples without an annoyingly long backstory. Bottom line, there are five.
Well, I'll take a pre-follow-up.
Thank you. Yeah. This, we're flagging it now. Pre-follow-up on this. We want to know the backstory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bottom line, there are five women with a few decades of history. We all love each other very much. Our husbands are friends. Our children are friends. They're our village. We are theirs. Some of us grew up together. Some of us are neighbors. This is like Desperate Housewives. Inevitably, the men and women divide. The men generally have a guy's night once a week, and the women do the same. This sounds like a TV show.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? They're their own little housewives is what's going on.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah,
we hang as a big group usually once a weekend, give or take. Wow. When it comes to planning and communicating these days, this world can be confusing. Text messages are tough. I often find myself frustrated, annoyed, or butthurt. Brian, can you decipher?
But
yeah, I do know what butthurt. By the way, I almost think butthurt is homophobic, and I know that's not how you intended it.
What does it mean, butthurt?
Like, hurt. It just means hurt, but in a way that like dudes say to each other, like, oh, don't get butthurt about it. I just forgot to email you.
Ew, I don't like that.
I don't either.
I don't like it at all.
Me neither. Okay, and desperately do not want to feel that way. Things always work out. My friends are lovely. They care for me. They can be moody. So can I. We're all moms, all women, all the things emotionally and physically. I know all these big picture things, but cannot seem to shake off things off in the moment. Am I alienating myself by not taking a traditional job and losing my goddamn mind? I feel happy at home and have an amazing life and a beautiful family. How can I chill and be less sensitive and more confident in these relationships? Again, I love you both. Sincerely, do not want to be the drama queen. Well, I hate to tell you, we need examples.
Yeah, we're going to need some document. We need receipts, as they say on Real Housewives of
Correct.
Ultimate Girls. Yeah.
Correct. We need receipts.
Yeah.
Join us on Patreon. We can already answer the Jill Zarin question, which is is not like Jill Zarin.
No. No. And it's borderline anti-Semitic to ask the question, just for the record.
Sure. I understand.
Yeah. Anti-woman, anti-Semitic.
Right. And people often think, Rana, that you're a New Yorker, which is not true.
Which is offensive, to be quite honest.
I get it.
If you're from Boston,
Right.
Much classier.
Patreon.com/AskRana, ARSocial.club. You've got 2 days, and the Kiki's tomorrow or the next day or something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. The Kiki's tomorrow. The
tomorrow.
White party, the August white party, that most exclusive invitation in town that you're not coming to if you didn't sign up is tomorrow. Pardon me. Two more days to sign up for September ARSocial.club. That also enters you to win the 5-minute AMA on the show. Pardon me. AskRonaCoffee.com. Still delicious. Still delicious. I just sent it to somebody who made it as a cold brew. Blew their mind quite right apart. They fancied themselves quite a coffee connoisseur. And they said, I hate to admit it. You're right. Shades of Vanilla is the most gorgeous cold brew I could imagine.
Gorgeous. I drink it every morning.
Gorgeous. Absolutely Rana, gorgeous. Yes, dear.
I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Oh, I want you to.
Thank you.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo! Let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.